This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
That was a really, really rough game last night. I struggle at really understanding exactly what went down. For those who didn't see, Malik Beasley hit 11 threes against us. Yes, breaking a team record. Surprisingly, that's the second time, in three games that they've had a player hit 11 threes on us. But even more rough. So, the record, the NBA record that's really held for quite a while, because there's five players that were tied, were scoring 27 points only from three-point range. Well, Malik Beasley scored 33, all from three-point range last night, breaking an NBA record that has been there for quite a while. So Malik Beasley, out of his fucking mind, his step-back three that he did, Mark, it's almost a little bit slower version of Trey Mann's, and I kind of digging it, and I was really impressed with how he was playing out there. But man, that's rough. Two teams, 22 threes by two players on us in three games. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, man, it was rough, and nobody else on the Timberwolves scored over 20 points or got into the 20s. The next guy was off the bench, Tayron Prince at 17 points, and all of the starters for the Wolves were in double figures, so they got contributions all over the place. In the end, it was that three-point shot. And like you said, we've seen this before. Same thing happened. It was Bogdanovich last time for the Jazz. He hit 11 threes, set a team record. Really fucking obnoxious, right? Those are both now tied for the highest any players hit this season. We lost the game by 30 points, and this game was a lot worse than the Jazz game because of how we lost. It was a rout. We didn't really have a chance. We weren't closing it. We weren't getting respect, and it just didn't go well. And you look down the bench and you realize at the end, it was like, this stinks because you're playing SGA. Like, if it was just like guys like Roby, Waters, Beasley, and Wiggins that were out there and, you had a game like this, it would be, this is all good experience for them. But with SGA out there, it really hurts. And you saw like him look really disappointed on the bench, and rightfully so.
He was not happy. You could tell. I would be upset too if I was on that bench.
Yeah. And it's easy to look at and be like, well, his teammates weren't making shots, but he wasn't making shots this game either. He was 2 for 15, and that was just a part of it. The good side, though, let's find the good side. Aaron Wiggins, 25 points, 9 of 19 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3. His 3-point shot is so simple. He jumps just high enough that he needs to get the shot off. He can jump on his jumper, but he's a set shooter, and he gets it off very quickly. He's ready to shoot as soon as he catches the ball. And then he picked up 3 offensive rebounds, so 9 total rebounds. 5 assists, 1 steal. I mean, I feel like what I saw from Wiggins, like anybody can have a good game shooting, but what I saw from Wiggins this game was the skill set of a pure shooter in development. And once you get to that point where your release is the same every time, and that's what I'm starting to notice with him, then you can start having games like this and you can build on it. So even though overall it was a very, very difficult game, Aaron Wiggins, man, he carried us.
Yeah, he really did, and he's been just been proving over and over again how big of a pickup he was for us in the draft, and why it's so important to have these late round draft picks in that second round, because somebody like Aaron Wiggins is going to be here for a very long time. Very team friendly contract at $2 million for the next few years. These are great things to be able to have, and I look at the way that this team is going, and I gotta say I look at it, and there's no way in my mind that he doesn't have an opportunity to be one of those guys that is the glue guys to this entire team. His defense, his way that he hits down knockdown shots, his offense is way more advanced than we thought it would be. So I'm really proud of the way that Wiggins has been playing recently. So good job by him. I want to jump back real quickly, Mark, and I want to talk about our defense real fast before I get into some of the players here. Did you know that we went 48 games straight without allowing a team to shoot above 40% from the three-point line? Until...
No.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard that, and it's like, I think everybody heard that, and that's kind of like what they're all coming in being like, you got to ding them up on, behind the arc, because, dude, until when, bro?
Till when? We played the Minnesota Timberwolves March 4th, and they shot 46% from the three-point line. That was the first time they had done it. Jazz did it the following game. They shot 44% from the line. We played against Bucks the other night. Bucks shot 50% from the line. And then tonight or last night against Minnesota, they shot 42%. So we're getting our asses handed to us behind the line. Obviously, teams are coming and they're ready, prepared. They know what's going on. They're not letting us do the things that we like to do, but the reality is, man, the way that we're getting our asses handed to us from behind that arc is truly spectacular. Because,
bro, tell me, how are they getting their open shots?
If you want to call them open, I mean, every single shot that I feel like I've seen a team hit, there's a hand in their face. Right? Maybe we're half a step too slow to there, but the reality is, though, is that like teams are hitting like insane shots. Mark, look at Jazz in Minnesota. They've never had a player shoot, you know, hit more than 10 threes in a game. And then they have two guys that go pretty much back to back against us hitting.
It's the offense is generating these open looks, and then it's target practice on the weak side because our closeouts are late.
Half a step late. But that's the thing, is they're not fully open shots. You know, like even a half a step late is not a fully open shot. It's not a complete open look. And they're still knocking these shots down.
Last night it was like he was, you know, the way he gets, you know, space, and I mean, he rises up, and then Bogdanovich is big enough, you know, similarly, he, you know, they get the shot off quickly. If you think about it, like we're late, and you said half a step, but to me it's two steps. And when we do get out there, a lot of times we're jumping. So when you lose, you know, when you lose that, then teams are pump faking and they start picking you apart different ways. So, yeah, I mean, when teams are hitting threes, yeah, it's going to be difficult. And they were just crushing us. And we shot pretty decent from three as a team. 32% isn't, like, good, but it's a lot better than what we had been seeing for some games. It just, like you said, like, they were getting crushed from behind the arc. It's happening generally by, like, the last couple of games. It's been one player who just goes crazy. But I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is what these guys do. You know, these are professional shooters, and they're getting that many really good looks. I think, like, for Malik, he shot 17 threes, okay? I would say out of those, 9 of them were clean looks. You know, a couple of them were rushed, and a couple of them he just didn't knock down. But, like, a player like Beasley getting 17 shots, that's what you have to look at. You have to push them behind the line. And that was something that we were doing well. We actually looked at, like, defending the three-point line was something we took pride in, and it feels like we've lost that in just a few games.
Yeah, and it's rough, but I feel like if you look at our injury list, it makes total sense what's happening. I mean, a lot of our perimeter defenders, our good ones, are out right now. So it's no surprise these teams are finding our weak spot. But you know, it still doesn't take out the frustration in the matter of watching teams go off and hit team records and all these other things, you know, especially after we play the Jazz and saying, well, that's not going to happen to us in a while. And I think I even said that on the podcast of like, there's not going to be another a player that hits 11 threes on us for a very long time. And then to see this happen again, I mean, it's just like eating shit in my, you know, in front of my kids right now. So it's not very fun.
Dude, it's going to happen, especially like you said, when your wings are inexperienced in NBA situations, they're not getting out there. But the teams, they know it. They say you swing the ball, get it to the weak side, and have your shooters ready. That's the blueprint for us right now.
Yeah, and if you look at our majority of our minutes right now, and they're coming from very young guys right now, Shea got 31 minutes, but even the minutes that he was playing, the way that they locked him down on defense really made things frustrating for him. They triple teamed him essentially. They said, beat us, rest of the team beat us. Shea's not going to beat us today. And seeing that, it was just frustrating for Shea. But more so, like, we scored 102 with only Shea scoring 8 points. So, for me, looking at that, and we only played 8 guys deep. So, yeah, we played Olivia Saar for 9 minutes, but, that was 9 minutes. To me, everybody else got the majority of time. So we had 8 players playing that time. So, I don't know. I was very encouraged looking at this team. Lindy Waters got a start tonight. He had 28 minutes, 8 points. He shot 2 for 10 on 3-pointers, but he took those shots that he was open. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. I applaud the young man for continuing to play well. I love the fact that he continues to hustle and do good things out there. I love the fact that the analysts and broadcast team for every team loves Lindy Waters, and he's definitely an Oklahoma favorite right now. It's definitely fun to see.
Yeah, I thought he did really well. He's obviously going to be showing up on team scouting reports after the game he had last game. So, he has to take a little additional pressure, but he played well. And, Baisley and Roby, Baisley ended up with 14 points and 5 rebounds, and Roby ended up with 15 points and 4 rebounds. So I thought they did a good job, but they both shot 5 for 9. Baisley shot 2 for 5 from deep, and Roby was 1 for 4. But they had very good games, very solid games for us. Obviously, they're not going to feel that way when you don't go out there and compete for 4 quarters. But, if we had won that game, you would look at those two guys and say they were a big part of it. And I thought that Roby did a good job with Towns. He's seen him a couple of games now, and I thought that it was an improved effort. And that's not easy to do with a player like Towns. So good job defensively, good job overall, just, kind of being those guys that we need them to be as they continue to improve.
We had a strong showing from Vit Krejci tonight. 25 minutes, 9 points, 1 steal, 1 assist, 2 rebounds, one of which was offensive, 2 for 2 on free throws, 1 for 4 and 3-pointers, 3 for 6 for field goals. Again, he continues to show that he's a playmaker, is willing to share that rock really quickly. I love the way that he passes the ball around. And Teo Maladon, 20 minutes, but 12 points. I think he had 6 or 7 points in the last couple of minutes. He was putting a scoring clinic on there. 7 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive, 2 for 5 on 3-pointers. Just an all-around good night for Maladon.
Yeah, 2 for 5 from deep. One of them was a quick pull-up. You love seeing that. And then I was really impressed with his composure. He got off the court very quickly. But he at the same time didn't lose control. There's a couple of times where I noticed him on fast breaks where I thought, like, this is really looking good. Like, he has come a long way. So, we got some good minutes from Poku. He scored 11 points, 5 for 11 from the field, 1 for 3 from deep, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. But like you mentioned, we basically went 8 deep today. And one of the main reasons that we only went 8 deep was because Trey Mann was out, and we didn't really discuss it that much, but last game he turned his ankle, and it was off of a fall, like he was going into the stands. What happened, Dave?
Yeah, this is a really bizarre train of events, and I think it has a lot to do with the way Shea played tonight too. But Trey Mann took a 3-pointer and he faded away, got kind of shoved. Wasn't intentional. Wasn't anything minor. It was just a minor like bump into type thing. And he kept on backpedaling, and then he stepped on a fan's foot, twisted his ankle, continued to play the game. But the very next time down the floor, Shea twists his ankle. And immediately we called timeout on defense because Shea was limping. And we, took Trey and Shea, out, make sure everything was okay. They both come back in the game. But, seeing the way that Shea played tonight, I kind of feel like that has something to do. Trey Mann being injured and being out, I think his ankle was a little bit more sprained severely, but he still played the game, so that's good to see. But yeah, man, these two guys are hurting.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, especially with as short as we are. But this is one of those chances we have at this point to continue to watch these guys, really figure out what they're capable of. So for me, The guys I'm looking at today as playing really good games to me is pretty much all the other guys. You know, Teo, I thought he played solid, although, you know, there were certain times I felt like he kind of got going too fast, but that happens with Teo. And Poku, I felt like he did a good job knocking down shots when he was out there. He only played 17 minutes, but he scored 11 points in those 17 minutes, so that's good. And then on the other side of it, like I mentioned with V, like I felt like he showed me something, even though his stat line doesn't really stand out. He showed me something that is going to be really reliable for a second team, kind of like point guard, two guard, even small forward. Like he can get in there, push the pace, but also calm everything down. And that's rare. So I think coach is going to continue to use some of these things he learned. But really, this is Aaron Wiggins, in a big way, a breakout game for him.
It's any game for a rookie that has to do with 20 points is a huge game. Obviously, Aaron Wiggins has, you know, put some really amazing games together for us. So great job by him. I'm definitely proud of the young man for continuing to get better. Let's talk about some team stats real quickly. Points off of turnovers. We had 21 points. That's great. We had 3 more points than Minnesota, who had only 18 points. We had 15 turnovers. Minnesota had 14. We had 32 points off of our bench. They had 52. Our biggest lead was 6 points. I forget that if that was in the first quarter, second quarter, whatever it was. But again, good job when we were able to get that lead. Fast break points, it was tied at 19. We did a great job on the fast break. But obviously, when we give up 19 points on the fast break, it's going to be pretty harsh. So another rough night on defense. This was not necessarily one of those games that you love to see, just because of the way that our defense is really, it was rough on the 3-point line. I'm trying to be nice and trying to say good things about the team, but when you have a night like last night that a team just goes off on you on 3-point range and then spend 4 games in a row now, it's the hard pill to swallow.
It is, and you have to like look at it, and you want to give some credit to randomness. You recognize that things like this will happen, but you also want to look at it and say, like, what can you do as a team, you know, better to stop something like this? And saying, well, this is just random, doesn't actually help you. Like, I think the key here is to recognize that both of these teams, like, their best shooters have gone off on us. And if that happens with the Jazz or with the Timberwolves, you have to recognize that there are some, like, issues with our defense. And that perimeter is something that we're having trouble defending. And it's all about, you know, getting from that paint to the weak side and closing out without jumping. And I kind of think that's why Poku only played 17 minutes, is because on the perimeter, he had a tendency to leave his feet and he was putting himself in some difficult positions. You have to stay down, but you got to get your hand in their face and you got to close out quickly. And right now, with where we're at, there's a number of guys that whoever figures out how to do that will continue to get opportunities. In a big way, that's why Wiggins has moved into the starting lineup, is because he's figured out how to defend on the perimeter, like staying down and getting out there quickly. And if you do both of those things, then there's a spot for you on this team. And then, boom, you have an opportunity to go out there and score a lot of points, because early on, teams will give you opportunities. We saw it with Dort. Now we're seeing it with Wiggins. And there's more opportunities for other guys. And Lindy Waters got his second start in a row. You know, this is an opportunity for him to take on the team's new identity and really push himself into the conversation for next year, because let's face it, we want to keep him around, but where is he going to fit? That's up to him to decide over the next 15 games.
I mean, we got a lot to decide over the next 15 games, where this team is going. Obviously, what draft pick are we looking at? All these other things, because now we're starting to come into focus of exactly where this team's headed. And honestly, like looking at where we're at, is you have a few teams like, you know, the Sacramento Kings that are 3 games ahead of us in the win column. Indiana Pacers are game and a half ahead of us. And then Detroit Pistons, who are, you know, we're only 2 games ahead of the Detroit Pistons. So, you know, there's going to be some movements here. I don't know if it really matters where the movement is, because if we talked about the flattening of the draft odds. But that's why we've said, is any wins that we can get from this point on are big wins, because we need to be able to put some wins together for confidence boosters. And honestly, like I said, I don't know how much that's going to affect our draft odds if we get a couple more wins before the end of the season. So I look at it like this.
My only wish, bro, is that if we're not going to be competitive, that SGA wasn't out there, because I just, it's not good for him
at all
to be in that environment
at all. I don't like it either. It's frustrating because getting triple team like that, you're eventually going to get hurt. I mean, you can't take three guys, two guys at, on you at all times, coming from all directions like that, and expect you not to get injured eventually.
Just ask Jenna Jameson.
Eventually, it comes back to you. Haunt your ass.
I'm not cutting this out, bro.
Good.
Our apologies to Jenna Jameson and anybody who is offended by that.
I don't even know where we're going with that, but yeah, man. It's a powerful moment recognizing that this team is at the spot they are. Like, I wanted to be talking about competing minutes that we're in the playoff race for and stuff like that. Obviously, with all the injuries that we've had, we've said goodbye to that. But man, this is kind of interesting to see how this team has been able to put some really big wins together and had some really bad losses. But all in all, I feel like it's hard not to call this season a successful season with as many rookies that we've seen play, as many minutes as they put up there, and really understanding more so where this team is headed because of the rookie crop.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we've learned so much about so many guys on this team. It's been an incredible adventure to watch them continue to impress. But at this stage, you know, we're looking at it and, like, we hung on for quite a while. We played, you know, some really good basketball at different points in February when, you know, January was a really tough time. But if I'm looking at it and I'm SGA right now, I'm hoping that we get Giddy back, you know, because those games were different. They can't put the same level of pressure on him when Josh is out there. And it makes a difference having another ball handler and someone else who can get people involved, because let's face it, when SGA gives the ball up, they make sure it's very difficult for him to get it back. And that takes a lot of energy. And we've got to figure out, you know, how to get him some help out there, but we also have to figure out how to stay healthy. So we've got a couple of days off coming up for this team. And from that, I'm hoping that we can at least get another guy back. Who knows who it will be. Trey Mann has had, you know, ankle injuries. Aaron Wiggins has had them, but he's back now. His last time, it wasn't quite as long, so maybe we'll get Trey back soon, but I don't know. And really, that's not going to make the biggest difference. The biggest difference at this stage, you know, has to kind of be us kind of figuring out, like, we're not going to have anybody come back to save us. Like, you know, last year we had this moment in the locker room where coach asked everybody why they played the game, and they put it up on the whiteboard and they just kind of wrote it. I think we're at that moment again where we want to lean into the rebuild, but we have to figure out why we're doing this, because this is very difficult and it's more than about basketball right now.
Yeah, it really is. There's so much that's happening in the locker rooms with the players and different things like that. It's not a mentality that you want around. You see that the Minnesota Timberwolves are all excited for being in, like, what, eighth place right now, like
seventh, yeah, or
yeah,
something.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what they're excited about, is because they haven't even tasted playoff basketball in such a long time. So, that's just, to me, is kind of like the indication, like, you know, when things are going wrong like this, you got to get some wins, you got to get some confidence boosters, you got to get some help to get these guys past this line. And, you know, it's just frustrating, you know, like, I don't know. I look at it like a lot of different things, but to me, like, when you have guys coming from you all directions and there's no stopping them and they're just coming and coming and coming, right? You just got to remember, in order to get out of the situation, you got to pick up your phone, call 1-900 Jenna Jameson, and she'll be there helping you out with the situation for sure.
Or not.
Or just stay away from it.
Dude, this was a complete pounding, bro. We got completely demolished, bro.
I mean, I'm, again, trying to look at it on the funny side. There's nothing really funny about getting beat by 30 points and anything else like that, like, at all. So, I mean, we've given up three of the, you know, most points in the NBA, three of the most 4 points in the NBA. this season in the last few games. So not something that's really a lot of fun to see, but, you know,
I mean, it's not fun. And you're right, though. We have to look at the bright side and recognize that we're getting to see young players, and that's unusual, but it's difficult. These guys are still out there playing for our city. They're playing for our team, and they're working hard, man. That's the thing. Like, it's just we've got to figure out how to get out there and defend that three-point line like we were. But teams are, like, they're coming in, and they recognize what they have to do. Like, the tape is out, and, it, you know, like I said, we're – like, who we have is who we have. So, it's, you know, it would be great to have Lu Dort show up, but that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, there's not many more guys that are going to come back from the healthy list. If anything, we'll see more guys that go on the injured list more so. So, you know, it's just going to be a rough rest of the season because of the injuries that we've suffered. You know, recognizing how much Lu Dort means to this team, recognizing how much JRE and all these other guys mean to this team is really powerful. So again, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, when half of your team is out, you're not going to get the outcomes you want. Just not, you know, just you're going to have to recognize that half of your team is going through surgeries and recovering from broken bones and bad ankle sprains and different things like that. This has just got to be one of those things where everybody takes a deep breath and recognizes that there's no room for us, like, panicking and trying to rush into any of these situations. Like, this is just one of those moments that we have to take a step back, you know, encourage the team because everybody's down right now. And, you know, being a negative, you know, Nancy or whatever you want to call it, isn't going to help anybody. It's just going to create more issues inside that locker room. And that's why, you know, in the past we brought up Barry Trammell and the way that he consistently trashes our team. These things matter to us because when you're doing this stuff on the outside, it's creating problems inside the locker room and ultimately issues with the team. So that's not what we want.
Exactly, man. But, you know, at the end of the day, what we are seeing happen, you know, if you can look at it and find the positive, then you're with us because there are positives, but they're going to come on an individual accomplishment standpoint. The team is obviously not too excited about this, but we've got to figure out how to keep competing, get back to that point where we're competing for four quarters. And, you know, we're going to take a couple of days off, Dave and I are, and come back at least for the next game. But you know, weekends here, the snow is good. So we decided we're going to enjoy the weekend as much as we can. I got a lot of snow out here in the mountains. Dave, you got any snow right now?
No, we had, you know, 80 degree weather a couple days ago, but we had that bomb cycle coming through, this weekend. So we'll see how much that brings.
I'm trying to get out and go fishing on Friday, and see if I can catch some fish before the weather turns bad again. But,
going for some browns? What are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going to try to catch some brown trout. Nice. And there's some good rainbow trout. Yeah, nice. Go up to where the beginning of the main branch of the Delaware, the upper Delaware, cool. And see if we can hook into some trout with my daughters and get out in the canoe and see what's up. So I'm looking forward to getting out there before everybody else does, but gets pretty crazy out
there. Is there still ice on that water, or what's it like up there?
There's no ice on the river, but there's a lot of ice on the banks of the river.
Okay, cool.
So you kind of have to, like, guide your canoe around, and obviously we don't want to go swimming or anything, but you know, the fishing's good. So
good. Well, good luck with that, man.
Thanks, man. And obviously with you getting all that snow in, I'm sure your kids will make the most of it outside.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely build some little snowmen. Anyways, all right, man. Well, it was good talking. I hope everybody's doing good out there, and we look forward to seeing you guys after the weekend. This is the first break we've taken, I don't know, probably since we started this podcast almost 2 years ago. So definitely stoked, or a year. I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. Definitely stoked that you guys are
15 months.
Yeah. Definitely stoked that you guys are with us. So we will be back on after this weekend. Appreciate every single one of you guys. And just as a reminder, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.